Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
So I'm just throwing out some names here. Harrison, Herter, and unfortunately maybe Davion.
Yeah, I think Davion would be involved.
With this year's pick, we make the pick for you. Mm-hmm. And
You have to. I don't know how it works after that.
I don't want to step on his material because he might come on here and say tomorrow. But James is talking about if you pick for him this year, you can still get a couple more picks that maybe we aren't aware of in the coming years.
Well, it also, because at some point the pick just goes to Atlanta.
Yes.
Right. So yeah. I just don't know like when that is because I don't think it's next year.
I think it converts or something like that. I think, and we'll have James got the insider, so he'll explain it there. But we'll have him on tomorrow too. I think he said 27.
Okay.
Is the one because we had an off-air conversation about this. Yeah. He explained it. And yeah, you can do a situation where you pick for him this year, give him 24. With no conditions, mm-hmm. Give him 27 with no conditions, maybe give him 29 with conditions.
I also wonder, like, in situations like that, what is it, okay, look, here's the deal. You know, we got this little hang up with Atlanta. We'll just pick for you for, you know, the 2 years, whatever 2 years we have the pick, we'll pick it for you. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm. And it just gets executed in a separate trade.
Right.
Because right, you have to exit. But I don't know. Maybe that could be
that's against the rules. I don't know.
Probably is.
Find out.
It feels like it.
Find out if it's against the rules.
Yeah, find out.
Adam Silver.
I didn't know I couldn't do that.
Wait a minute. This is two drafts in a row. You traded that pick.
And you guys just made a deal. It's okay because Adam's still going to be riding high off the TV deal, so it'll be fine. We'll save that conversation.
Yeah, I'm about to say that because that.
We'll save that conversation tomorrow, but your boys were doing some research this morning, and my goodness.
I want to be an NBA owner when I grow up.
You're listening to D'Lo and KC. Well, maybe you could be part of the LeBrons. The Las Vegas LeBrons, the Las Vegas Caraways. You got enough money. You're listening to D'Lo and KC on KIFM West Sacramento, 98.5 FM KRX QHD2 Sacramento, ESPN 1320. Always live on the free Odyssey app. Fun day so far. Been breaking down hip hop, been breaking down these games. Our man Jason Jones is going to join us coming up in about 15 minutes. He's going to have plenty to say. By the way, a follow up and perhaps some closure. To absolutely no one's surprise. And when I say no one, I mean absolutely no one.
Okay.
Devin Booker's people said that what Stephen A. Smith said was wrong. Stephen A. literally just talking. And forcing Devin Booker's people to say, yeah, there is no shred of truth in that. So it turns out, despite, and he might deny it. He might deny it.
I haven't talked to him.
Well, he might deny it, Stephen A., because it's not true. Devin Booker's people refuted Stephen A.'s remarks that he wants to go play for the New York Knicks.
That was also so vague, right? Like, Devin might be like, yeah, I'd play for the Knicks, but it's not on my – that's like in a hypothetical world, right? Like, I'm not asking to leave Phoenix. I'm not going around back channels, you know. Like, we had this talk last night with my wife. I'd like to live in New York. I'm not actively trying to live in New York right now. Mm-hmm. But if you ever ask me in a conversation, sure, I'd love to see what that experience is like. What are you talking about, Stephen A.? And much like Kerry Champion, you know what your wording is doing. You're making it as if he wants to go to New York, and that's not no.
Who's in a worse position, the Bucks or the 76ers?
Moving forward?
Yeah. Because I'm assuming they're both done.
Yeah.
I might go as far as to say they're both done tonight. But either way, they're not advancing past this first round.
I don't need Milwaukee to keep playing at this point. Like, you guys aren't healthy.
Mm-mm.
You're not winning this series. Let's just take old Yeller out back.
Oh,
right here with this series. I would say
do it in a more dignified way than they did. Old Yeller. We need to stop popularizing.
Did that really happen in an episode or something?
I think Old Yeller was a movie.
Did it really happen in the movie?
Well, yeah. I think that's how the dog. I think they.
Take that boy. Man, that's cold. They didn't need to do that in the movie.
No, you just inject the dog with something and he goes to sleep while you're.
Yeah, that was tough. I had to do that with Max. That was.
Yeah, you didn't take Max outside. And no. Like, come on, man. Of course, I think Old Yeller was made in like the 50s.
Yeah, definitely
or something.
Black and white.
You know what popped up? This is super random, but it's, I don't know why, it just surprised the hell out of me. So I think it was maybe Peacock, the Andy Griffith Show is on there.
Ah.
So, you know what floored me about that? And let me double check this, because they had this, you know how many seasons of that show there were?
I'm going to guess six.
Yeah, there were like five or six. I thought there were like 100. I thought that show was on from the beginning of time.
I didn't
realize that show was only on for six seasons.
How many seasons was in that? Look, need people to be adults around here.
Yeah.
How many seasons did the Dick Van Dyke Show have? Because I really enjoyed that. When it would come on Nick at Night and the cartoons would be over, but, you know, I don't know where the remote is.
The Dick Van Dyke Show, starring Dick Van Dyke.
And wasn't Mary Tyler Moore was in there?
Five seasons.
I like that show. It was Mary Tyler Moore, right?
Yes. It was Mary Tyler Moore.
She was the wife, yeah.
It was Mary Tyler Moore.
Yeah, I like Dick Van Dyke Show. Andy Griffin,
Mary Tyler Moore was fine.
Oh, my God. Hey.
Mary Tyler Moore was fine.
It might have been a couple of the reasons why I didn't turn off Nickelodeon. Even a young Casey was like, that
Casey
lady.
Watching sexy-ass Mary Tyler Moore in black and white.
I was like, that lady in the black and white is a baddie.
I don't
know. Old 9-year-old Casey, she's a baddie.
I don't know. I don't know why I was so surprised that the Andy Griffith Show was only, it says 8 seasons. That might have included the couple of like color episodes that they had, which they used on the screenshot, which I thought was hilarious. Old Yeller was made in 1957.
Well, yeah, they were definitely they weren't going to the veterinarian and doing it a certain way then. That's cold, man. Don't do that to Old Yeller. That's just terrible. But didn't Andy Griffin also, he was Matlock, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. That's where I know him from as well.
That was old Andy.
Look at Mary Tyler Moore.
Okay? Did Mary Tyler. You really Google pictured Mary Tyler Moore. She's fine, bro.
No, Mary
that
Tyler
really
Moore,
threw me off.
Mary Tyler Moore was a baddie. She was a baddie.
Oh, that's amazing.
And she was like, oh, this would be great to see. How old was she on the Dick Van Dyke Show? Because I was just about to say, like, that was young Mary Tyler Moore. Like, she
Hold
was
on.
Yeah, she was cute.
Oh man, I'm all over the place now.
It's like, who is this wife?
Hold on, we might we lost control of this. Let's see, Mary Tyler Moore. She was born.
My guess would be she was 24. On the
Let's
Dick
see,
Van Dyke
she
Show.
Was born in 1936. The Dick Van Dyke Show started in 1961. Is that 25?
That sounds about right, yeah.
25 years old?
Checks out.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I mean, I know who Mary Tyler Moore is. This isn't the first time I've seen her. I just don't know that I don't think I was ever a I don't think I ever really watched
it
the
wasn't
Dick
familiar
Van Dyke
with her
show. Goodness gracious.
Oh, yeah. I remember young KC was, I know What Would You Do is off, but let me see what's going on with this show. I know Double Dare is over, but let me go and see what's going on Nick at Night right now. I'm just hang out for a little bit.
Ooh, Mary Tyler Moore might have been the baddest woman in the 50s.
Well, Marilyn Monroe. Was she in the 50s? Marilyn Monroe.
Well, yeah, because
Monroe was bad.
Yeah, because President Kennedy was smashing. Yeah.
Hey, she was a baddie. There's some times I like see some pictures. I was like, wow.
Yeah, Marilyn Monroe.
I
Marilyn Monroe looks like the original video vixen.
I said, I understand. Wow.
It's like, could you believe President Kennedy? Well. Yeah. Just looking at her, like, I've never, like, Madonna modeled her look after her, right?
Marilyn Monroe?
Yeah. I'm sure a million women of the 70s and 80s did, but, oh, yeah, Marilyn Monroe is bad.
Yeah.
Boy, but she might be not this, oh, I'm looking at images. Come on, man. Look, grow up, D-Lo.
Let's be real. I wouldn't feel
right. Oh, she's older. She died in 62.
Marilyn Monroe did?
Yeah, Marilyn Monroe died in 62.
How old was she?
36 years old.
Oh, that's terrible.
Yeah, jeez. She's 36 years old. So what did we just say? Mary Tyler Moore was cast in 61. She was 25. Yeah. Okay. A little different. But there was an era where Marilyn Monroe and Mary Tyler Moore.
And I only... feel like I got to mention how beautiful I thought Diana Ross was.
Oh, yeah.
Diana Ross was fine. Diana Ross was fine in the 90s.
You know how I feel about her offspring.
that Supremes Diana Ross was fine. But then I remember seeing Diana in the 90s. I was like, wow. Young KC, once again.
See.
Wow.
All right. I don't want to say anything wrong, so I'm just going to... I was just there was someone else who popped in my mind. I was like, I'm going to take a quick look. And,
well, no, we're here.
Well, no, they have like... we're just doing
no,
this
we're
here,
here
huh?
No, we're here. We radio showing today. Come on, we here.
Jacqueline Kennedy is not fine.
Oh, no.
She's a... She's a nice looking woman.
Maybe
the mistake was I looked at Mary Tyler Moore and Marilyn Monroe and they look, you know, sultry. And Jackie just looks very elegant.
Let's see, I'll be the judge of this here. You know who I thought about when you said that? I was thinking of Jane Kennedy. Now, she was fine too.
I don't know who Jane Kennedy is, I don't think.
I learned that from Mos Def's song, Miss Fat Booty.
Jane Kennedy.
She looked like
Lord
Jane Kennedy.
Mercy.
Were born. I said, who is Jane Kennedy? So word, then I found out.
Word Bond is such a that's such a new. Oh my God.
Jackie Kennedy was just kind of basic.
Well, that's.
She wasn't. She was just kind of basic. She was just kind of there. Jane Kennedy, though.
Dude, this picture of Jane Kennedy in 1980. Oh, my God. Jane Kennedy's still with us. She's 72 years old.
She looked like Jane Kennedy were born. I was like, who is that?
What did she do? Starsky and Hutch, Stanford and Son? Did commercials for McDonald's? Yeah. Won an Emmy Award for hosting the Rose Bowl?
How do you host the Rose Bowl?
Well, congratulations.
Shout out to her.
The parade. Not the game. The parade.
Okay, I got you. I'll be forgetting it's a parade sometimes. And not just the game.
Appeared on a 1986 episode of 227.
Now, that's an underrated show.
Had a role on Benson as well. What you know about Benson?
I used to love me some Jack Hay.
No, Jack Hay was 227. Was she on Benson too?
No, she was on 227. That's what I'm saying. I was like, oh, that's what they doing in D.C. Okay.
Joe, it is your job to not allow these last 15 minutes to happen. Jason Jones joins us. Well, that really got away from us. Jason Jones joins us next here on Sacramento Sports Leader.
Ish.
ESPN 1320.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Back to D'Lo and KC, brought to you by Sky River Casino. Live all around the world on the free Odyssey app.
I also remember when my girl Kim Fields was on Fresh Prince.
Oh, I remember when Kim Fields was on it too.
That's my girl Kim Fields, boy. I'll be watching Living Single like.
It's a wild day, Jason. I'm just going to tell you that right now. It's
okay, I'm with it.
We just spent the last 10 minutes ranking the baddest women of like the 1950s. We Eartha Kitt, Julie Newmar.
And look, it all started with Mary Tyler Moore. Who's like, you.
Yo, don't make that face. Mary Tyler Moore is bad.
Mary Tyler Moore was a baddie, bro. I'm telling you.
I'm going to have to go ahead and get my phone.
Yeah.
Like, okay, let's see. what did I miss?
Dick Van Dyke, Mary Tyler Moore was a baddie. I mean, she was fine after that. But when she was on the Dick Van Dyke show,
she's a baddie.
Yeah, it was a good look.
Well, that's what they say why a lot of these young athletes get with these older women when they get to the league, like Jalen Green, because they saw these women on TV when they were kids and they was like, man, she's bad. Man, if I get like 20 something, I'm going to go for it. Yeah.
That's why Ime Udoka will be the biggest fumble of all time.
Well, you know, I guess maybe we don't know what's going on. Maybe he was it just wasn't working out. I don't know.
Fix it, make it work.
I don't know. I don't know. You know, but like someone says, for every beautiful woman, there's a man tired of her. Well, so, I mean,
ain't gonna be Nia. Ain't gonna be Nia.
I can't judge. I can't judge. But you got senators tweeting like, "Hey, sister Nia, it's gonna be all right." Can you be like, focus on a law? Are you really you shooting your shot from Congress? From the Senate floor, you're on your phone. Hey, that would happen with Nia. So bad what he did to you. Like, come on, man, really?
We're going to make cheating against the law federally to protect women like you, Nia.
It still don't top the Jeezy interview, though.
Well, hey, man. Hey, Jeezy.
Shout out young Jeezy.
Jeezy said, hey, man, I'm on the straight and narrow.
That was top level pandering right there.
He said, I'm on the straight and narrow.
Is that where Jeezy said black men don't cheat? Real like, black men don't cheat?
Say real man or something like that.
No, he said black men.
He said real ones don't. Real ones. I'm cleaning up. Real ones don't cheat.
Oh, okay. That's what it was. Like, that's what it was.
Like, and he made a face like, "Cheat." Whoa. I'm like, brother Jeezy, let's not do this.
Jeezy's like, you're safe with me. You're safe with me.
Meanwhile, Jenny Simmer. Oh, you gonna go say that to her? Wait till I file this paperwork.
No, that's just, I don't know what's going on there. Might be some nasty work going on, but I don't know what's going on there.
When it gets to a divorce and there's a kid involved, it becomes all about discrediting the other parent sometimes. It's got to be true.
Feels like a rap beef.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Thank God for Kendrick.
Well, I was going to ask your opinion, but.
DLA, man, like come on. We already know what, time they on, man.
Isn't your son's name Kendrick? I feel like I don't actually have to ask.
Yeah, I named my son after Kendrick, so yeah.
Okay.
I thought it was a dope record, man. I really do, man. I can't wait to listen to it again. That was a dope record.
Yeah, and he actually put it on streaming, unlike the other dude who like let it pretend like it was AI for 3 days.
See how it go? It got to be a shot at the other guy.
He's just referring to the other guy in the beef.
We spent half the day going, is this a real record?
It wasn't a real record. So what's the point?
Yeah.
All of a sudden it becomes a real record.
Tupac Estate said no. As a matter of fact, it's not a real record.
Well, he's talking about push-ups.
Oh.
I'm talking about push-ups, yeah. Oh. I mean, I don't know. Like I said, some people say it's creative. I think it's lame. Especially I think using Snoop was worse than Pac. Snoop is alive. And I mean, people have used Pox. I mean, I didn't like, you know, I thought the use of Snoop was worse. So I'm just like, come on, Snoop is alive. And you're just going to put Snoop's voice into a beef?
Snoop's reaction was kind of funny, though.
Well, he was like,
Staring at the IG.
Like, what? How? Huh?
He said, I'm going back to sleep.
You know the worst, and I know you hate this. The worst part was hearing what sounded like Pac and what sounded like Snoop rapping like Drake. Yeah, was the worst.
It was definitely
part.
Drake's flow. Like,
right, that's what I mean.
Hear Drake's flow.
Yeah, I hated that.
I thought it was creative, man. It wasn't like, oh, this is amazing. It's the greatest thing ever.
One.
I thought it was creative. You and the
for me,
Drake
if
fan
it wasn't
club.
Used in a beef, it'd have been different.
What are Drake fans called? You got the Beehive, you got the Swifties. What were the Drakeys? What are you guys called?
I don't know what
your card say?
I don't have no card.
Did he say when he gave you the jacket?
He didn't give me.
Are you
an
owl?
Sure.
I mean, what are you? You
know? owl. That's it.
I like Drake's music. I like Kendrick's music. I think they're both dope. I think they're both. This is their era. These two.
We can enjoy. You can enjoy both of their music and enjoy. You know. I've always said I like Drake when Drake raps. I don't like singing Drake. And I do. I've always said Drake reminds me of the dude who was like really like corny growing up. But then he had this crazy one, like two real crazy talents. And he's trying to like say, okay, now that I got this talent, let me lean into this other stuff. Like, that's not you, dude. You're still an actor. And
But at the same time, it's also like this whole thing. And my cousin AC laid it out perfectly years ago. He's like, it's this version of Jay-Z and Nas almost, because as dope as Kendrick is, if it's party time on Friday and Saturday, I'm not throwing into Pimp a Butterfly. I'm not playing the Mr. Morales, you know what I mean? But if I want to like, man, I'm having a hard time right now, I need to like focus, I need to hear some stuff that's going to motivate me, I'm not going to put in For All My Dogs. Like, they have their lanes. They yeah. serve their purposes. And I don't think there's nothing wrong with that.
I think Glasses Malone actually breaks down Drake really well. He basically says Drake is pop rap. Drake figures out what's popular. He leans into whatever that style is. Like, he can go from hanging out with Wayne and leaning into the South and then pop up on the West Coast and sample a West Coast song. And he kind of just can kind of move around. And that's how he stays popular, in part, because not to say he doesn't have talent, but, like, you know, that's not the, I mean, is that the Toronto sound, or is that like Drake finding the sound?
Which actually I think is amazing in itself and doesn't get enough credit, because not just anybody can do that. Not anybody can adapt to the song that's being played, the artist that they're working with, the region that it's coming from, and make it sound seamless.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's an overlooked talent of his.
Yeah, and then you have those who would say, well, that makes him basically an appropriator of the culture.
Not an appropriator.
I'm not my words, but like I said, Drake is one of the more polarizing people I've ever seen in hip hop.
Facts.
Yeah, he is.
I mean, the opinions on him, there are people who think Drake can do no wrong. There are people who think that Drake is just not terrible. There are people, usually, there are people who tell you, like, for example, Jay-Z. They'll say, you know what? I may not be the biggest Jay-Z fan, but I can't knock Jay-Z.
Mm-hmm.
But Drake would be like, no, yeah, he's terrible. I'm like, I'm not going to say he's terrible. No, let's not say that. But if he's not, like you said, it's a mood thing, you know?
You're just not naming your son Drake.
I'm not naming my son Aubrey, no.
That too.
Come here, Aubrey. He looked at me like, who is...
Good name for a puppy.
Well, not bad at all.
Aubrey.
And, look, if there are Aubreys out there, that's a good name.
I'm sure there are.
I mean, when you see pictures of young Drake, he looks like an Aubrey.
That feels like a light skin joke. Let's be careful here. All right.
I don't know.
Calm down, Rick Ross. Let's relax a bit.
I'll ask both of you guys this, because I feel like to a certain degree, it actually is twofold, right? I think I can make an argument that Drake has had one of the toughest roads in hip hop history. And then you can, if you want to really dive into the weeds, you can say he had an easy road in hip hop history. But think about his background, where he came from, his history, having to overcome being Wheelchair Jimmy and all this other stuff to being one of the best rappers in the world.
Mm-hmm.
They've tried to eat you alive for being Wheelchair Jimmy. And he dusted off. Now, like I said, if you want to get into the weeds, you could say, well, he's at an easy road because there may be some backing for Drake because of his background and who he is and all this other stuff. I don't know. But I think he has a completely different story than any rapper in this game. And you guys know hip hop is always waiting to discredit somebody for their for their background and their upbringing. And he's made it through that.
Yeah, I mean, how a guy from Toronto ended up with a Young Money cosign, and there's a
who
lot.
Who was on
there.
Nickel? What was it? Was it Nickelodeon? Or was it the Disney Channel? I don't even know where that show was at. This guy was on Disney, and comes out being one of the biggest rappers of all time.
Yeah, his bars. I mean, I don't know. He grew the beard. I think that helped him more than anything else. He grew the beard.
That definitely was a game changer for him, I think. You know, he had to do, he had to do something to take away from the fact that every time he liked the sports team, that team would lose.
Well, there was that too. Curse.
This dude was in the Kentucky meeting room all geared up.
Like, listening to Coach
Cal.
That's the other thing about Drake that will always be weird.
There's always going to be like a weird awkwardness about him. Like, no matter how rich and popular he is, he's always going to have that, like.
It does feel like he's a rich nerd sometimes.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's not even a diss. It's kind of accurate.
Yeah.
He's like one of the biggest rappers in the world, but he like just fanboys when he gets to like be around like.
to Marcus Cousins.
Yeah, he's like, oh my God, it's like, dude, you know you're Drake, right?
Is he going to Louisville? Has anyone checked? Is he going to Louisville?
But, oh, you mean Arkansas?
Or Arkansas, yeah. Sorry, Arkansas.
Sure. No, he's probably going to South Carolina.
Is he in the transfer portal? Well.
South Carolina or the other, the real USC.
Yet? I mean, you know, he's going to be in Minnesota right now with Ant-Man for sure.
Oh, leave Ant-Man alone. Just leave Anthony Edwards alone.
Yeah, he's going to be hanging out with Ant-Man or something. You know, he's got to do something. All his regulars are falling to the wayside. You know, Steph's gone, LeBron's gone, KD's out. So he's got to find somebody new in the NBA.
What's next for your king?
I don't know. I mean, I don't think he's going to retire. My hunch is that, first of all, I love the fact that The Athletic had a story ready to go with the buzzer.
The second.
The buzzer.
The second.
Good Lord. Not that I've never participated in having a story ready to go with the buzzer. You know, I think we had our Dave Eggers getting fired story ready like for a month.
Oh, man.
So, okay. So, Jason.
Updating it and, you know, tweaking it. But, yeah, but I mean, nowadays, somebody says Shams was 2 for 2. He got Frank Vogel, then he got Darvinham the next night.
Hey, so, Jason, take us through this because Dame has laid out the reasons why. And I'm not disputing that. I just want to hear what you got to say, being in the trenches. I absolutely hate, not from a reporter standpoint, but an organization standpoint, where they have this stuff ready to go. They see the season's about to end, and they're like, let me give you all the dirt on Frank Vogel or on Darvinham and make him look as bad as possible. Like, why do these franchises continue to do this? This is crazy to me that they do it every time. It doesn't help anything. It doesn't make the general public be like, oh, yeah, this is – yeah, you're right. Like, I didn't know this. You should get rid of Frank Vogel. Like, why do they always do this?
Because they're trying to spin the narrative, control it, and get ahead of it. But a lot of times you look worse. Like, I read the Lakers story. I'm like, yeah, we all saw this stuff months ago when you kept the guy, so shut up. I'm like, we all saw the road. We all saw what was happening after that incident. We all saw it. And now you wait till you lose in the playoffs. Oh, my God, it's been bad for months. Oh, duh. We saw that.
Right. It feels like they're running like a 1992 playbook in 2024. Mm-hmm. Like, we can have access to all this stuff. Like, we know all this stuff already. Yeah, like, you don't have to tell us this.
Organizations really do believe that, you know, hey, if we get – because a lot of times a coach – can't come out and say how they really feel because they got to work again. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Like, say right. Darvinham comes out and says, you know what? I think D'Angelo Russell was an idiot. Austin Reeves sucks. LeBron is selfish. Mm-hmm. Blah, 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 blah. You think Darvinham's going to work again?
Right. Right.
In the
right.
NBA with all those clutch,
right.
You know, clients around the, you know. So a lot of times it's easier for the organization to get their spin out because what can Darvinham say? Because if they don't fire Darvinham or if they don't fire Frank Vogel, they can't be on the record ripping people.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So you kind of have to just sit there and, you know, let it be said about you. It's like I said, you know, and Frank, it's happened to Frank more than once. Remember when the Lakers let him go, they pretty much asked him about being fired during the presser. Mm. Yeah. So, I mean, it's just kind of the way it works. I mean,
hell, they were asking him before Game 4.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, you know, and I've had those awkward times where, you know, I think I had a stare down with George Karl in Houston because I had already written that he was getting fired after that game because I knew for 2 months he was getting fired.
Mm-hmm.
And so George's looking at me, I'm looking at George, and we both know it's true. And then everyone's looking at us like, are you guys going to talk? We're like, I've got nothing to say. This is this man's last game.
It can get
very awkward, can get very weird. Like even with Jaeger,
that was so weird. It was like 3 months that not only did we know he was being fired, we knew who his successor were.
That was crazy,
and he was the coach in LA.
it was wild. Was I remember crazy. I talked to Dave like 2 or 3 months, and I pretty much said, "Hey, I'm writing a story about this. If you're not back, this is why, Dave." But that's fine. I had it all laid out about the whole communication issues. There was stuff in there that I didn't even put that I've been told. I'm like, I can't put that. You know, it's like at some point, you're almost like, it's just piling on, mm-hmm. you know, but it's just kind of the way things, you know, I mean, mm-hmm. there's secrets and sometimes there are no secrets and it's not fun sometimes. And I think a lot of times the public doesn't realize as the reporter in the middle, it's not always fun because you have relationships with both sides. You have relationships with management and coaches. You know, it's not like, you know, you're like, I'll take myself, for example. It wasn't like I had beef, personal beef with the Kings coach in the front office. Right. And I'm trying to like, you know, but you got a job to do. And it's tough. Like I said, you know, at the buzzer, it's like, buzzer, Lakers lose. Oh, yeah. By the way, let's recap this terrible situation with Darvin Ham. And I'll still say this. If it was that bad, you should have just put him out of his misery and fired him months ago. But now the whole spin is he's not likely to be back or his job is in jeopardy, a.k.a. which means the Lakers are going to sit around and watch the rest of the playoffs and see if maybe if the Clippers implode, maybe Ty Lue says, I don't want any more. Or, you know, that's what's going to happen.
And because, Ty Lue's not under contract next year, right?
I'm not sure, but.
I don't think he is.
He's not, and it feels like he's not going to be
there. This is it, yeah.
And so that's, I mean, if we're being real, that's what the Lakers are going to do. They're going to see what he does because they've got to come back and say, you know what? We messed up. We should have hired you 4 years ago, four or five years. That was our bad. We messed up, you know, and if you're going to keep LeBron, you know, never mind drafting it or bringing his son, you're going to go get him as coach. Yeah. You know, you're going to go and you go get the coach he likes, who's actually a very good coach. And then you worry about the rest. So I think the Lakers are going to sit back and wait and see what happens. You know, you don't fire Darvin Ham like today and then go, okay, what do we do now?
Yeah. Hmm.
Do you think the roster needs any changes? And when I'm talking about the roster, mainly I'm talking about like AD. Like, do you move on from AD? Because there is a feeling that this incarnation of the roster, unless people are saying it's all Darvin Ham's fault, isn't like – it's not good enough to win a championship, right? So what do you think about the roster?
I think AD had a hell of a season. I think some of the issues they had were due to just a lack of depth. And I think they had some inconsistencies, and some of it was due to coaching, I think. Mm-hmm. But some of it was they never got another big to play with AD so they could play that big lineup where you put AD at the four. So I think some of it is just, you know, a matter of, can you get a big, you know, can you do some things differently? Can you, you know, does having a guy like Vanderbilt healthy, I think that helps you against Denver. It doesn't mean you win, but I think, you know, you like your chances of Vanderbilt defending Michael Porter than you do watching Rui get lost and forgetting that Michael Porter Jr. hadn't missed a three, it felt like, in months. You know, I think there are some things you can do roster-wise. You probably do look to upgrade the backcourt, especially defensively, but I don't move on. I mean, if you're going to move on from AD, what are you getting back is my question.
Why do you think they wound up at seven in this position to have to – you know, play the Nuggets so early in the playoffs? Obviously some things happened at the top of the conference that kind of shake that out as well. But the fact that they wound up finishing at seven, not only finished at seven, but got kind of hot in the last couple of months of the season to pull themselves up to the seven spot.
I think they spent too much of the season not playing their best players. I mean, mm-hmm. when Darvin was obsessed with making sure Cam Reddish and Torian Prince played a lot.
Well, Kenny Caraway model.
He's like, you know, when he went through the, I mean, he went through the incarnation of, I'm going to bench D'Angelo Russell and Austin Reeves and start whatever. I don't know. You know, I think, you know, they kept on talking about injuries. This wasn't about injuries for them. This is about, you just did not play. You know, there were some issues where lineup, you know, it wasn't like LeBron missed 40 games and AD missed 40 games. Mm-hmm. Your key players played. Mm-hmm. I think they definitely had some issues in terms of strategy and coaching. You know, remember they spent the first half of the season like being the worst first quarter team in the league. They were always playing uphill. because, you know, they weren't starting their best lineup. And then even going through, even as they played well, there are still those moments where they'd go to these, you know, even in the series, you know, Spencer Dinwiddie had kind of solidified himself at that third guard. But now you try to force Gabe Vincent into the rotation. So instead of having a solid third guard, you got two guys who don't know what they're doing. So, I mean, there were issues with stuff like that. Because there's, I mean, they may not have been a championship team. There's no way in hell they should have been behind Phoenix, which was injured half the year and didn't have a point guard. I mean, there's no way they should have been behind Phoenix. You know, and then considering some of the struggles the Clippers had, how much Dallas struggled during the year, I think all that's going to – it's all an indictment. A lot of it's on Darvin. I don't think it's all on him. I think Rob Pelinka is escaping some blame because there's so many people think you can point at Darvin. But, you know, the last couple of years, you know, who put this team together? Yeah.
What do you think happens with LeBron? Like, is there any thought that he might move on from L.A.? Or me and Damian seem to think he's going to retire a Laker. Like, you think that's the case?
I think he stays a Laker. I don't think he goes and say lives in New York while Bryce is a senior in high. Is Bryce going to be a senior?
I think so. Yeah.
I just can't, for all the talk about, you know, get back to my family. I can't see him going, you know what? Hey, Bryce, is your senior year? I was out. We're out. We're going to go move to New York, or we're going to go move to Miami, wherever, you know, whatever city. Mm-hmm. And also don't think there's going to be another team that's going to bend over the way the Lakers will to keep him happy. Mm-hmm. I mean, if it means putting his son on the team, you're damn right they're going to put Bronny on the team. and I feel for Bronny in this sense that people forget he had a heart attack.
Yeah.
I mean, he's not some untalented player. Is he his dad? No, but his dad is one of one.
Mm-hmm.
But I think, you know, do you want to go to college and develop, or do you want to go be a pro and develop? Mm-hmm. Whatever the case may be. But I just think it's, you know, very strategic that when that story dropped, the same thing dropped at the same time. The Lakers are open to drafting Bronny.
Woj had that one. So Shams and Sam had the whole in-depth piece, and then Woj, well, you know, that Bronny. Boy, I don't know.
Everyone's sitting back going, yeah, we're ready. I mean, but there's going to be a lot to monitor. I mean, what happens in New Orleans blow that thing up? You know, they just say, you know what, this is not going to work.
Can't play the Kings 82 games, guys. Got to figure something out.
Yeah, you can't. Yeah, they're like, if we played the Kings every game, man, we.
So upsetting. Don't laugh. It's crazy. It ain't funny. It's not funny.
Well, there were a lot of crazy things this season. Like, the Kings own Denver. Mm-hmm. And then when the Lakers see Denver, Michael Porter Jr. becomes like Dirk Nowitzki.
And the Kings really own the Lakers.
but then it just makes no sense.
Nope.
Some guys.
OKC owns the Pelicans. Pelicans own the Kings.
Right. The Lakers
own OKC.
The Lakers down the stretch went like, I'm exaggerating a little bit, but they went like 15-2, and their two losses were to the Kings. They beat everybody else and lost two straight to the Kings. Makes no sense.
I mean, they like beat Boston with their backups. They beat Milwaukee twice, but then they couldn't beat the Kings and they couldn't beat the Warriors. But then they go out there and they destroy OKC and they destroy New Orleans, but the Kings can't beat New Orleans, and they blow 20-point leads to OKC.
This is crazy.
I can't, you know, I don't know what's going to happen. I mean, I think Atlanta's somewhere you got to watch just because it's, you know, they give away at least one guy every offseason.
Well, their roster's trash. Like, that, not the players, the makeup of it. It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, you know, and then, like I said, New Orleans has to figure out what they're going to do. I mean, it doesn't help that Brandon Ingram plays so much better without Zion, and Zion plays so much better without B.I. I mean, there's going to be a lot of stuff to look at, you know. Does somebody get dealt to San Antonio? I mean, do the Kings – Who might the Kings be willing to part ways with to get a significant upgrade on the roster? You know,
who's the significant upgrade?
That's the thing. It all depends on what you do. All I know is that I said during the year, I'd have gave up Keegan for Siakam. And everybody thought I was crazy. Yeah. I would have done that. You know, maybe you would, you know, but they also probably figured they weren't going to be able to re-sign him.
So that's the other thing. Like, I think the most shocking thing that could happen this offseason is Siakam doesn't re-sign with the Pacers.
Yeah, exactly. Like, yes. Like, I mean, yeah, you know, it all depends on what do you consider significant upgrade. Do you just shake things up to shake them up? You know, does somebody want to, you know, I think for the Kings, what does Malik do? Yeah. You know, if you do try to trade Harrison, what are you getting in return at this point? You know, there's just so much going on. And meanwhile, we still got a bunch of playoff games to still play. I mean, Joel Embiid's probably going home today. I mean, that man don't want to see no part of the conference finals, it seemed like, for nothing.
The Bucks too.
Yeah.
I would say Giannis and Dame are going home, but they're probably not really participating in this.
Yeah, that part where Dame was talking about missing the playoffs last year, I got to go to Coachella. I could never do that before. I was like, my man really was like, there's a life. He's just like, I could go to Coachella last year. You know, now I'm in Milwaukee. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, that's going to be.
Going to be playing until June.
No. Too bad Coachella is not next week because you could go.
Dame asked the question earlier. I will ask you as well, and I'll answer it. Who's in a worse spot, Milwaukee or Philadelphia?
Can we go one further?
Yeah.
Throw the Lakers in there.
I'll go Milwaukee still because Philly, they have a max contract slot open with Tobias leaving. And the Lakers, I don't know how it necessarily works, but if D'Angelo doesn't come back, they got a little money to do something. Milwaukee is – they have no more moves left to make outside
of feel like it.
Getting rid of Dame or Giannis.
And some of these teams, like them and the Clippers, have like traded away and like fans traded away so many first round picks to create these teams to where they don't really like. If you're the Clippers, you just gave Kawhi that crazy extension, and it's kind of proven true that I mean, I almost throw the Clippers in there too. This is like, you know, is it going to be a thing every April that Kawhi's body is just breaking down this time of year? I mean, you hate to see it, but I mean, is that just going to be a thing? Maybe Kawhi takes the hit, you know, in terms of award and says, I'm only playing 50 games.
And he played the 65 plus this year.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And now you don't have him for the playoffs.
And the tough part with Kawhi is always we don't exactly know why.
Right.
We don't know what's wrong.
Right now it's just knee inflammation. Like, mm-hmm. We don't know if anything's
but I got hints of this. People told me 5 years ago this was going to be Kawhi's problem going forward, and that was part of the issue in his free agency. Mm. He was pretty much, I mean, telling teams, you're not getting me no 80 games a year. Mm. That knee, that, you know, remember when they won the title in Toronto? Remember how he looked in that game six?
Mm-hmm.
He was not moving very well. Mm-hmm. And
he's
I
like,
felt
I'm gonna
like
get if, through it.
If the Warriors could have somehow got to a game seven and push that thing, that could have been a problem for them. Because remember, he wasn't moving great in that last game.
Well, I mean, you go back further. He was hurt in the Philly series. Even miracle shot and all. Mm-hmm. Like, he was hurt. He was hurt through most of that playoffs.
Yeah, so, I mean, there's a lot of just questions with some of these older star teams. And meanwhile, like I said, Ant-Man's going to run the world pretty soon. Him and Wimby.
Yeah, for real. Yeah, that's a shoot.
It's tough because you look at, like, if you're Sacramento, you go, okay, we got our, you know, we got, say if your core is going to be De'Aaron, Sabonis, and Keegan, you say, how do we deal with that guy in San Antonio, though? Hmm. You know, what do we do with, you know, what do we do with Anthony Edwards and McDaniels on the wing playing defense? And, you know, and they, I mean, Ant-Man is so good, we forget that Karl Anthony Towns is not a terrible player.
But neither is Rudy Gobert.
But we know what that is. He's from France, so they will never give him credit.
Well, I guess that's it.
I mean, when he got voted in our poll, like, the most over, I'm like, how is he the most overrated player? It's like the players hate defense so much, they're like, what does he do? Set screens and play defense?
Well, Kenny hates him too.
Well, the only knock I have on him really is he's a defensive player that gets played off the court because of defensive matchups.
My man Tony Jones, he will argue you down on that. He says it's not what happened. He said he points to that Clipper Utah series as being more of a coaching personnel issue, and that's not Rudy's fault.
It happened against Dallas too. Dallas and Utah. It happened on Sunday. Poor Finch, before he got hurt, started making defensive matchup situations because Phoenix went small.
Yeah, yeah. So I mean, I'm not, you know, hey, you know. I mean, I learned.
It's not unusual for teams to switch up, though.
Defensive player of the year nominee, though.
I'm saying it's not unusual for them to switch up when guys go small, when teams go small. I don't think that's unusual.
Wimby ain't never going to be subbed out because of defense.
You can't use the award nominee.
Don't use Wimby as an example for anything.
You can't use his award nominees as a gauge. I mean, if it was anybody else but Steph, people would be going crazy about a guy who was on a 10-seeded team being the clutch player.
We ain't bringing up.
I'll say it.
As Jason Jones at theathletic.com.
They were 10th.
Jason Jones with his euphoria for Steph Curry.
All I'm saying is that the team that had the best clutch record in the league was playing last night. And the guy who led the league, I believe, in points in the clutch was actually LeBron. Mm. Mm. And he couldn't get.
Oh, you know LeBron. You know LeBron's not eligible for awards anymore. You know that.
I'm just sitting there going, I'm like, okay, Shea, Steph? Like, what the hell did I miss this year? Like, when De'Aaron got it last year, it made sense. I'm like, I remember these moments. I'm like, Steph?
Jay was like, I was way too wrapped up in the bloodline story year. I missed all of this.
I was like, they're 10th. But they're 10th. I'm like, how clutch was he? I said, if it was anybody but Steph, there'd be all types of, you know, we can't believe this, take away people's votes. This is ridiculous. Well,
some of us
are like, no, it's okay. Steph, you know, Steph should have got this award even though it didn't exist like in 2015. So we're going to give it to him now.
Jay, we appreciate you as always, man. This was a blast. Thank you.
All right, I'll catch you next time.
Yes, sir. That's our man Jason Jones right there of The Athletic discussing all things, period. Yeah, just everything.
That's what we do. I mean, he is the culture writer for The Athletic. It's
very, like the article about Kendrick and Drake has to be on the way. Hey, Joe, come on, man. You've got to be better next time. Don't let this happen again.
I got the timing, though.
We really
did. I did get the timing this time. And
Joe, you did a great job. Are you with us tomorrow or no?
I'm not. So I was just going to say.
So this was it?
Yeah, this is it. I appreciate it, guys.
Yeah, great job, man. Great job. We appreciate you, Joe. We're headed over to 102.5. We'll see you guys here tomorrow beginning at 10 a.m. with the Insiders on Sacramento Sports Leader. NBA basketball coming up next on ESPN 1320.
Vamos, Knicks!
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/AcrossAmerica.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.